This morning, the privilege is mine to speak of a subject that is very dear to my heart. We are taking the book of Proverbs thematically, and Solomon deals very early in his book with a subject that was very obviously very dear to his heart. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, we just read two verses this morning. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And so I'd like to take the idea this morning, the subject, regarding parents and children, and in one quick and easy lesson, just sum it up for you so nice. We know better, don't we? It's impossible. But here is a very valuable thought this morning, a very valuable subject. We're not dealing with the home broadly. We're not dealing with husbands and wives here on a large scale. We're not really even dealing comprehensively with raising our children or obeying our parents. We have several in the number this morning who are still technically obeying, or should be, your parents in the home. We're not dealing comprehensively with either of those, yet we can, I hope, glean a lot from the wisdom of Solomon by looking at this one verse, really, verse 8, and trying to get from him what do you mean? Just what do you mean here? And my Bible, I got this big 6-pound Bible recently. It's a Holman study Bible. And Mr. Holman, whoever the editor was, says this: don't make too much of the pairing of instruction with the father and law with the mother. He says, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And my editor says, don't make too much of that. This is poetry after all. And parallelism and reinforcing of truths don't necessarily indicate a distinction. And I thought about that, and then I looked at the words themselves, and I thought, well, maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe we do need to look at precisely why Solomon used the words that he used, and maybe gain something in the process. And so we have basically two points this morning. The first is this: we have some clear expectations of children expressed. Clear expectations. My wife, she's not here. I'll brag on her a little bit. She told a child, and it's so simple, but it was so impactful. Years ago, the child was struggling. I don't even remember who it was or how old she was. But she took her aside and she said, dear, you have one responsibility before God. Obey. And I thought how succinct that was, how wise that was, what good counsel that was to a child. Obey. Obey. Children, obey your parents. And here Solomon reinforces that when he uses the word hear the instruction of thy father. And I remember hearing with my ears the instruction of my father, and sometimes I would hear only with my physical ear, and it would not sink very deeply in. But Solomon is saying here, pay attention to what your parents are saying. Wouldn't you like, parents, wouldn't you like to get that through, that we're not quite as ignorant of worldly things as our 14-year-olds think we are? It dawns on them eventually, as it dawned on me, hey, my parents did know some things. Pay attention. If you're here today and parents are speaking to you instructions. If they are, you might say, lecturing you betimes, pay attention. You're not perfect, but you have a responsibility to hear. You have a responsibility, and that word hear means understand. Understand. Now, I would hasten to say this. If you have a small child parent, and you tell that small child, go clean up your room, and that small child says, why? Then if he heals within 6 weeks, you could maybe explain something, right? You know, you don't explain the why to a little child. But when they grow, you need to be very sensitive as a parent to help them to understand. And we're going to elaborate that on that as we go along. Children, obey your parents in all things, Paul told the Colossians. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. He says, secondly, for the children, forsake not. And that means don't leave. Don't leave. Young person, if you are considering leaving, please don't leave. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Don't forsake, young person, the law of your mother. Don't forsake. Don't leave. Don't leave the paths of life, the paths of righteousness. I will promise you, there is nothing good for you out there. Nothing good. It means, this word forsake not means not only to leave, it means to let go of. To let go of. Now we could speak a lot of the metaphorical sense of letting go, but look at chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. I like that. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, don't let them go. Don't let them go. Some of you adults could say, you could bear witness this morning perhaps of a time in your life when you decided to forsake, you decided to let go of the instruction, the law of your parents. And then one day you decided, by God's grace, I want them close. I want that instruction. I want that law close to me. And now the very thought of your letting, even if you are 50 almost, like I, there are things about what your parents instilled in you that you never want to let go of. So don't forsake. It also means, thirdly, to abandon. In chapter 19, I'll just read this for you. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. And here is the heartbreak of many a Christian parent, a child who abandons his upbringing to follow after the world, follow after his lust, his own way. Why, young person, would you break your parents' heart that way? Why would you break their hearts? Why would you bring shame upon yourself and them? I would ask you this, those of you who are possibly contemplating abandoning, leaving, letting go of the law of your mother. What is it that you seek that will profit you more than the paths of righteousness? Tragically, many young people have a sort of understanding that causes them to seek fulfillment in things more tangible, more material. They want something that in their mind, the puritanical mindset of their parents simply cannot provide. And they hate hypocrisy. I don't know how many times I've heard young people who have grown up in church, and they have utter disdain for hypocrisy. They see dad and mom at home. Ouch. And they know the truth. If that is Christianity, they say, I don't want any part of it. I don't want anything to do with it. So they leave, they forsake, they let go, they abandon the paths of life and begin their walk down the paths of destruction. But lest we paint too gloomy of a picture this morning, there is a clear path to life. It's a path of faith and joy and blessing and ultimately eternal bliss. Children, by God's grace, can hear. They can hear the instruction of the Father. They can hold tightly to the words of wisdom. And here is the joy, of many a Christian parent. Saved children. Bless His name for saving our children. And so we find the explicit commandment to the child in Proverbs 1:8 is to hear and to obey. But with that, we find a commandment that is implied to parents. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. So here is an implied commandment to you dads. Instruct. Instruct. Now, if you remember, last week we looked at the word instruction. That word literally means discipline. Discipline. Dad, discipline your sons. Discipline your daughters. Now, when we look at the word, the English word discipline, as a noun, discipline in the home is, first of all, a comprehensive approach to training with intent to nurture. That is discipline as a noun, a discipline. Some people use that word. In education, we use that word. They're studying a discipline. It is a system of education. So I thought it was the rod. Well, we're going to get there. Proverbs gets there. We'll get there. But discipline, dads, and the more I read and study these things, the bigger and bigger this responsibility gets on dads. Discipline is a comprehensive approach to training your children. Secondly, it is a consistent administration. Godly discipline is a consistent administration. Nothing will provoke your children to wrath any quicker than your inconsistency in discipline. Now, children, if you ever wanted to say amen in church, you could have said it right then, and I would not have been offended. Your inconsistency, and I'm speaking to dads. Well, my wife handles that. That's a problem. That's a problem, dads. If you are inconsistent in your system of discipline, your children will be provoked to wrath. Thirdly, discipline is a clear definition of boundaries. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That is chapter 29, verse 15. A child left to himself. You know, you could pretty much, and Brother Kyle, you go to the prison, but you see lives that have been destroyed by sin and decisions that are so poor. And you know, you could pretty much boil down, you could watch the life of a child growing up, or you could go backwards back to that childhood, and you could see more often than not a child who has been left to himself. And so discipline does not leave your children to themselves. There are clear boundaries. There's constant warnings against forsaking. And we could, I went through the Proverbs just quickly. and just wrote down, I entered my notes, some of the warnings against forsaking. There's some tragic consequences. Words like calamity, destruction, desolation, anguish, cursing, darkness, bitterness, folly, snares, poverty, dishonor, slaughter, shame, poverty, condemnation, wrath, death, hell. Consequences of not heeding the warning. Discipline. It is a compassionate dad's. This is easier for some of us than others. A compassionate encouragement for your children to hear. Listen. Listen, how many times in the book of Proverbs does Solomon say, my son hear, my son listen. Dad, if we're too busy to take our sons and daughters aside and say, listen to me. Listen, I care about your soul. Then we're too busy. Hear, Solomon says. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we have words like receive, hide, incline, apply, seek, find, keep, bind, write, attend, exalt, take hold, buy the truth and sell it not. Instructions for the children. Discipline. So instruction means discipline. Instruction means correction. Correction. It means to make right. Brother John mentioned the porch project out here, and as he in his mind puts this thing together, he has an idea of how to work, and then I come along and start screwing, and he comes behind me and says, "Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind. I'm not making this up. This does happen." And nicely and compassionately, he says, let me kind of adjust that a little bit. Why? Because he has to make it right. This is right. We needed this thing done right. I appreciate your help, Russ, but maybe you could go get drinks. You know, we got to do this thing right. The discipline of my child is not to prove something to him. It is not to exhibit some dominion over her. The discipline of my child is to correct. To correct. It is to chasten. To purify. And yes, the discipline of my child is to chastise sometimes. That is to punish. Now, I will say things that in the next few minutes that you may agree with and you may not. And definitely, the world will not. But Isaiah says this with this word of chastisement. He, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we have chastisement linked to bruising and striping. Now, don't read too much into that. You'll be in jail. But here is a monumental and awe-inspiring responsibility of dads. It's the rod. The rod. Controversial, for sure, in our day. And, Dad, requiring much discretion. But the word, the King James Bible uses the word beat. Oh, boy. You know, you can get locked up for beating your child. Well, beating has a connotation with it. That the Word of God is not encouraging you or commanding you to beat your child as the modern day connotation is. And yet, if you're going to use the rod, it's not going to be to massage his backside. Right? I'm asking for mature hearers this morning. The world recoils at the teaching of God's word regarding beating your child. This week, fittingly, the Pope came out. Did anybody catch that? He said, it's okay if you spank your child. Well, Peter Newell of the Global Alliance to End Corporal Punishment of Children. Man, I'm thinking, get a cause, man. He says, it is disappointing that anyone with that sort of influence would make such a comment. I would never, have you heard this one? I would never harm my child. Now that is an example of the twisted thinking of this world. Because as we will see, if you don't administer the rod, then you are harming your child. And we see in verse 24, let me back up here. I had another thing to say. The world regarding the discipline of your child, the chastisement, the correction of your child seems to always bring out new methods. They have reasoning. Don't you love that, Brandon? You're going to sit down with Malachi and you're going to reason with Malachi. I remember trying to reason with my little daughter. After I had sent her back to her room to wait for me and the rod, I went back there and I said, sweetie, do you understand? Yes, sir. I said, do you know what you've done? Yes, sir. Aren't you sorry that you've done this? No, sir. No, sir, I'm not. And I said, well, me and Rod have something to say about that. Time out. 1, 2, 3. Do you like that one? How many times does that work, parent, when at the count of four you don't do anything? There have even been offers lately, this week. There is an offer from a barber shop in Atlanta who will freely give your child, your son, an old man haircut. They call it the Benjamin Button Special. You know, it looks like mine. If your child won't behave and you can't do anything with them, then you can threaten them with a Benjamin Button haircut. The world hates the simple prescriptions of the Word of God. But I'm not speaking to the world this morning. I'm speaking to God's people, right? This is the Word of God. I would say that if you abuse your child in any form, that you are guilty of egregious sin. You should be repentant and ashamed. Yet, the rod, as quoted in our King James Version of the Bible, is an important part of child rearing. And we see in chapter 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Sounds contrary to the world's philosophy. I don't spank my child. I love my child. Solomon says, if you don't spank your child, you hate your child. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In chapter 22, the rod is a vehicle to rid foolishness or folly. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What are we going to do about that? time out, that works every time. No, it doesn't. The rod does. The rod of correction shall drive the foolishness far from him. The rod is a means of deliverance. Withhold not correction from the child, chapter 23. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. There is the word I mentioned earlier, kind of in a silly way, but there's the word betimes, chasteneth him betimes. That word means early. Had the state seen how early I started administering corporal punishment, I'd still be locked up. I'm serious. I remember a preacher speaking of a baby. And I mean a baby now. I'm talking about a baby. A bottle on the bottle baby. And they laid the baby down and the baby just started pitching the fit, you know, and somebody asked the preacher, what's the baby doing? And he said, he's lying. He's lying. Oh, my baby. My baby's crying. Your baby can't speak. The crying is his way of getting what he wants. It's not my baby. Yes, foolishness is bound from a very young age in the heart of a child. Now, I'm not advocating you take the rod to your three-month-old. That's not what I'm advocating. But I do remember having to get the attention of one of my children very early. And it had to do with the bottle. And it was either me, or I won't tell you which one it was, but it was either me or him. One of us was going to win this little battle, and he was a little critter. You see, we have to understand, that the rod is a means of deliverance. It is an instrument in chapter 29, verse 15, an instrument for imparting wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You contrast all of those things with a child left to himself. And the choice for God's people is very plain. And so, dads, we have a responsibility to discipline. Now, I am not saying that the administering of the rod is always the dad's responsibility. I am saying that the standard of discipline in your home, dad, is on you. You take that for what it's worth. That's my fault. The standard of discipline in your home is your responsibility. Mom? You have an implied commandment in verse 8. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Here is an implication that you are responsible for the law. The law. Now, I would agree with my Holman Study Bible in this sense, that there is the law speaking it throughout the book of Proverbs in regards to the responsibility of the mother and the father. Okay, so we don't want to make too much of this. But why would the word law be given here early in the book in relation to the work or the onus that is on mothers? The law of thy mother. That word law is very simply the same word that we have when we read law throughout the Old Testament, the word Torah, or Torah, as I'm learning is supposed to be said. Torah, the law. Now, here's an abused concept, moms. It is necessary for you to have rules in your house. And I would not want your job. I think that it is a high calling to be a mom. But your law is more than a list of rules. In fact, that's so much a small part. I'm going to lay down the law. Yeah, see, that's the abuse. And we can glean, I think, some insight into what Solomon wanted for mothers when we look at the Torah in the Old Testament and what the Word of God has to say about God's law. For Israel, the hearing, the obedience to God's law was the key to victory and blessing. It wasn't that God just wanted to expose their wickedness. Listen to what Deuteronomy 11 says. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Here's a promise. Their relationship with the Torah had a direct impact on their victory, their blessings. He says in Deuteronomy 17, God laid down the parameters, the instructions for a future king of Israel. He says this, it shall be with him, that is a prospective king, speaking of the law, he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. For what purpose? He says, to the end, that he may prolong his days and his kingdom, and his children in the midst of Israel. So here was the key to a long and prosperous reign of any future king of Israel, adherence to the law. For Joshua, we read in chapter 1 of the book of his name, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. By what? By your relationship to the law of God. All right, these were the instructions. The Psalm 1 man, remember him? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And then in Psalm 37, for the righteous man, it was a key to his steadfastness. And you see this in the book of Proverbs. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now, why am I saying all that? Well, as we say, the same word law that we just read in these many verses is the word that we have in Proverbs, the law of thy mother. Now, some people say that there's no difference. Solomon is speaking of God's law here. And there's some truth in that, but there's something else. Moms, there's something more here that we must understand. It is the law of thy mother. And so, when you consider your law, remember that Torah is guidance. Torah is the teaching of manners. Torah is direction. Direction. I can almost picture this, and again, this is my own fault. You take it for what it's worth. I see a godly dad leading his family, disciplining the whole comprehensive system of training up children. He's leading the family. And behind him are all his little crumb crunchers, you know, from the oldest down to the youngest. And they're following Dad, and behind them is their guide, Mom. And she's saying, no, no. No, why? Because they want them to follow. They want them to succeed. Mom wants them to win. Torah, Mom, your law is about guiding. It is about teaching of manners. It is about direction. Your high calling is to teach your children through your words and through your actions. Your great privilege is not merely to lay down a list of rules. And this is what the world conceives of God's word as. A list of rules, do's and don'ts. But you, Mom, who understand what you're dealing with here, and that is the eternal well-being of your children. Know that God's word, God's law is much more than just a system of do's and don'ts. You are guiding, you are addressing the heart of your children. What a high calling, Mom. Your great privilege is not just writing the rules on the board and then threatening with a crabapple switch any child who dare offend. Your vision must be broader than that, Moms. Your law, your Torah, is guidance, direction, the teaching of your children how to live. Solomon saw this, and he wrote about it. The benefits of his son's obedience. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Solomon understood that this was not about just keeping his kids in line until they leave the house and get out of his way. It's much more than that. This is, I feel in our day that parents, worldly parents, are satisfied as long as their teenage sons and daughters don't embarrass them. You can do whatever you want. You can stay out as late as you want. Just don't bring the attention to me. Just don't bring the embarrassment my way. Oh, what a tragedy. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Isn't this what this is about? I won't read anymore. We'll be done. But you'll find in Chapter 4, yeah, I guess I will. There's only a few verses. Chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. She is thy life. Isn't that wonderful? And then chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. He repeats it. bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall keep thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. I'm sorry, my eyes here. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I like that. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Children, very simply, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Hear what they're saying. Don't forsake their law. It's for your benefit. Yeah, but my parents are square. Listen, all parents are square. That's just part of the job. We're just kind of square. If I'm too cool, I'm not doing my parenting job right. No, your dad's cool. Your mom's cool. What that usually means is we'll party at your house. Right? If you're going to be a godly parent, I'm supposed to be talking to the children, but we're going to be a bit square. Don't let that be, child, the criterion that you use to decide whether or not you're going to obey. You have one commandment. Children, obey. May the Lord give grace to our children, opening their eyes to the verity of His Word and to the sincerity of the discipline and guidance of their parents. Dads, we must set a high standard of discipline. We must be consistent, setting clear boundaries. Warn your kids of the immediate and eternal consequences of rejecting your instruction. But don't fail to encourage them with the now and later benefits of following the Lord and heeding your instruction. We must be willing to chasten, to correct, and yes, to chastise our children. The correct use of the rod is not a bad thing. On the contrary, it comes with many positive effects if administered rightly, with love, with soberness, with understanding. Moms, establish your law. I'm not talking about something different outside of the Word of God. But you know, moms, you know what I'm talking about. Establish your law. But remember that it must be more than a list of rules. Yours is the awesome place of directing, of influencing, of guiding those babies. Show them how to live. May your law, with wisdom and kindness, always point them to Christ and to the honor of their fathers. These are big responsibilities. Dads and moms alike, and children. But the wonder, the blessing of it, is God has equipped us through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom, by whom, we can do all things to be the dad that we're supposed to be, and the mom that we're supposed to be, and the child that we're supposed to be. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a blessing? As God's people, we have this. Not easy, Brother Russ. Not sure I'm getting there. I'm sure I didn't. I'm sure I failed many ways. I'm sure you'll fail. But we have something here that does not change, that is, that dictates the clear direction of the Word of God. It does not change, and it always works. Always works. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for these very practical thoughts. Thank you for a man like Solomon who understood, teaches his moms and dads and children to hear, to embrace, to never leave, and to live by these things as you've given us. May all glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.